frame her fate, her tongue, her scorn. But woman is patient. The world is young like a child, rich in the womb and fighting to be born.
And that was Peggy Seeger from her album Different, Therefore Equal, the song Union Woman. The new High Times has come out, a magazine I enjoy reading a lot, even though it's pretty glitzy and full of ads and other crap. Nonetheless, Dean Latimer has an interesting article. UN Global War on Drugs, the flop heard round the world. United Nations, New York. Let there be no doubt, President Bill Clinton told the world's assembled drug warriors here on June 8th. This is ultimately a struggle for human freedom. Clinton wasn't the only one who saw it that way. The president of Mexico, Ernesto Zedillo, who had originally proposed this special three-day UN, quote, drug summit, came to it seething about a recently revealed secret three-year U.S. narco bank sting operation conducted on Mexican territory in blatant infringement of Mexican law. We must all respect the sovereignty of each nation, Zedillo angrily warned the General Assembly, so that no one can become the judge of others and no one feels entitled to violate other countries' laws for the sake of enforcing its own laws. After that confrontation, the grandiose vision of UN drug control chief Pino Arlacchi, to bind all UN member nations in formal treaties, committing them permanently to a global war on drugs in disregard of human rights considerations, evaporated in controversy. The much-ballyhooed drug summit degenerated into a talkathon as 150-odd drug war jefes and chiefs of lesser states spouted rhetorical bombast. The outgoing bribery-tainted president of Colombia, for example, boasted of the staged arrest of a minor cocaine kingpin the very day before the session opened, and Bolivian President Hugo Banzer, a notorious beneficiary of the CIA dope wars of the 1980s, solemnly pledged once again to absolutely eradicate coca bushes from his country forever. Bolivia could do it by 2002, Banzer predicted, if the UN would provide merely $150 million per year, which was another embarrassment to the UNDCP's grand scheme. Arlacchi had set a dramatic 10-year deadline for eradicating all the coca, poppy, and cannabis plants on the planet, depending on cheap herbicides and expensive crop replacement programs, but half the costs were expected to be provided by the drug crop-growing nations themselves. As one dope-producing nation after another regaled the General Assembly with tough anti-drug talk and appeals for massive UN subsidies, his grand plan swirled down the tubes. Even U.S. drug czar General Barry McCaffrey termed Alaki's UNDCP proposals premature, a tactful way of saying that the UN's drug control clique was simply demanding too much international law enforcement power. Others were less tactful, like the New York Times editors, who denounced the notion of further intensifying a militarized war on drugs, which has torn apart societies and built up some of the world's most repressive armies, quote unquote. It was a near miss. This special UN narco summit had long before been planned by the UNDCP's drug warriors in Vienna to showcase a grand US-directed juggernaut against the swelling global movement for drug law reform. The original agenda, by reliable report, had called for a full-tilt emergency push, not just for drug suppression, but suppression of anti-drug war political speech. Freedom of expression, the UNDCP formally resolved years ago, cannot remain unrestricted when it conflicts with other essential values and rights. That's a quote. The acid test for this drug censorship push has been France, where nearly 30 French organizations, including mainstream labor unions and legal guilds, are pushing for repeal of a notorious 1970 federal ordinance under which the government can, and increasingly does, prosecute anyone they wish for articulating criticisms of government drug policy. Even as the UN was meeting in New York City, the Collectif pour l'abrogation de la loi Nouvelle-Saint-Sainte, that's 1970 in French, for all you French folks out there, was marching on the Bastille in Paris. An even riskier civil disobedience project in Moscow, timed to coincide with the UN narco summit, involved transnational radical party members in Pushkin Square simply handing out flyers critical of Article 46 of Russia's new law on narcotic drugs and psychotropic substances. Coming out of the National Duma legislature, where a majority of the lawmakers are reliably rumored to routinely accept mafia bribe money, the new law makes it effectively illegal to distribute any information about illegal drugs unless its source is approved by authorities. Thus, handing out pamphlets opposing this law could itself be a bustable offense. Skidmark Bob Duran, take note. These and scores of other drug reform manifestations were staged all around the world, manifestos, just prior to the UN Narco Summit, called Global Days Against the Drug War. They comprised such events as a marijuana munch-in in Melbourne, Australia, a three-day street party against the war on drugs in Amsterdam, and rock concerts from Fort Lauderdale, Florida to Eugene, Oregon in the USA. All passed mainly without event, except in Israel, where the country's Supreme Court blocked an anti-drug war rave at the popular Pacha beachfront resort near Tel Aviv, called by Legalize Israel. Ironically, the Israeli banking system has been identified for years by the U.S. State Department as a wide-open laundromat for hard drug money washers, fiercely protected from extradition by the same government that banned Legalize Israel's political demonstration, quote, as a disguised drug party. That's Dean Latimer writing in this month's High Times, September 97, or 98, and the article is called UN Drug Flop. Your turn to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrop Spears Broadsides, 2 hours of Babylon music and some interviews. It's interesting, we're just past 6:30, and that was the time when the election results of the United Farm Workers Union were due to be, I guess, revealed by the Agriculture Labor Relations Board. There, of course, is a continuing battle, as those of you who read the papers know, between the farm workers and the strawberry growers, who have kind of set up a front group called the Coastal Berry Farm Workers Committee, or at least that's how the United Farm Workers Union views it. I haven't been out there in the fields talking to the farm workers, so I don't have an independent opinion except what I've gathered from reading different stories in the paper, but it looks quite possible that a company union, that is to say a group that looks like a union but is nothing of the kind, simply financed by the large corporation Coastal Berry, has been set up specifically to undermine the United Farm Workers Union, which has been organizing for months in the strawberry fields. And United Farm Workers wanted to call off that struggle, I'm sorry, to call off that vote, the vote today, because they felt it couldn't be fairly done. The election, in essence, was under the control of the growers, and that there had been some violence in the fields by this grower-initiated union called the Coastal Berry Farm Workers Committee. That's my reading of it, but again, I would have to do a lot more close analysis, actually go down there before I could clearly and authoritatively give you information about what's really happening. But in the meantime, I tend to take the United Farm Workers line there. I haven't seen sufficient evidence to the contrary to make me believe that there really is an alternate union in the farm workers is somehow not representing the will of the people. But again, I'll hope to have more information on this in programs that come. About a month ago, I took a trip through the Southwest, stopped in a city called Prescott, Arizona. Here's a tape I made there. Well, it's about 25 to 6, and we're in, what's the name of this park?
Gosh, I don't know.
Courthouse Park or something. And we found the city of Prescott, which was considering 4 anti-homeless laws and actually an anti-homeless ID card system some time ago. In January or February, is now considering it again this month. But it's too late to get to the courthouse to get the details, so we're going to have to pick that one up later. However, apparently an illegal assembly without a permit in this park is 4 people or more. Or maybe more than 4 people. Well, we're here in front of, what are we, the Cattleman's shop, talking to
Frank.
Frank. Yeah. Frank, you've been here for 7 years.
Yeah.
And
you said... homeless a few times, too.
Oh, well, you're under arrest.
Cool, I have some good food, place to live.
Have you been arrested here before?
No.
What do you hear about that if you get jailed here in Prescott?
I haven't heard much.
What's the story? You say police have kind of a heavy-handed policy toward the homeless? Is that true or not?
They haven't bothered me too much.
So no, not a heavy-handed policy. But you said there was an ID kind of plan floating around a few months ago, and a kind of response to which the homeless left town?
Yeah, a lot of them did.
Have you ever been bothered by a homeless person recently, or have you been recently bothered?
No, not at all.
What about the sight of the unsightly people, not fashionably dressed, hanging out on the streets? Don't you think Prescott has a right to get rid of these people?
No, I don't.
What are you, some sort of constitutionalist?
No, I just like people. Everybody has problems. Everybody has problems.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but what about the merchants who are trying to increase their profits? What about their problems?
Well, I don't know. They seem to be doing pretty well to me.
Well, we have some companions of yours. You're a local, too.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Tanya.
Tanya, you certainly are more fashionably dressed than this man, I must say. Certainly newer shoes, I got to say that. What do you think of the laws that make it illegal for people, let's say, to sit down or sleep at night if they're poor?
Dumb. I think it's fine. So I'm from Phoenix, originally, and I live with homeless people. I don't care, really.
Are you here a long time, or?
2 years.
And have you, I think there have been complaints about people being panhandled or spare change downtown? Or?
You're more yelled at by the people in different religions than homeless people. They cuss you out, huh? It's you. They're more bothered by them than you are homeless people.
But that's for your own soul, right?
Well, no, because they tell you you're going to go to hell and F you this, F you that, if you don't, you're not in their religion.
And you tell them that you're already in hell, thank you very much.
No. I say I am in hell, thank you very much. That's it. No,
and here, are you a mom?
Yes, uh-huh.
What do you think? Do you think that the Prescott needs laws that make it illegal for people to sit down or sleep?
Not really, because most of the vagrants are harmless. I mean, they just need a place to sleep and stay warm like everybody else.
And are you a person who's been here for a while?
Or? 8 years.
And what about you? What do you think? You're a younger person. Should there be laws against people sleeping in downtown Prescott, let's say, if they have no place to sleep outside?
No.
Are you, what do you think when you see a homeless person? Do they scare you? Do you feel sorry? Do you feel just, oh, here's another person? What's your reaction?
Sorry for him.
You haven't had any problems with a homeless person?
No.
I made friends with one of them down here. When our heater went out and we were staying at the motel because it was snow weather and we were freezing, one of them was walking to town and he didn't have any cigarettes or money, so we went to the birdcage and I had coffee and he had coffee and we smoked.
You actually associated with these people?
Oh yeah, I took him in and gave him something to drink and cigarettes.
And did he then went out and rob a bank perhaps?
No.
Assault an innocent woman?
No, no. We just had a
good time together
and I went my way and he went his way. Yeah.
Well, don't you realize that you're just encouraging people to hang around if they don't have any money?
I don't think so. I mean, he was thirsty, you know?
What are you, some sort of Christian?
Yeah, I think so. I try to be. I'm not always do right. My kids can vouch for that.
How about the police department in this town? How does it treat not just homeless people, but let's say lower income citizens? Any comments? Like crap.
Let me tell you, you don't want to get a DUI here. You don't ever want to get arrested here. You're like a piece of raw meat.
Have you been arrested or had a friend who was arrested? You want to tell about?
Yeah, me, right across the street there.
At the courthouse you're pointing to?
Well, they took me to the jail, yeah.
And what were you arrested for?
DUI, for having two drinks on Whiskey Row.
And what were the circumstances?
I had two drinks on Whiskey Row. I went from where McNose's, which is about a fourth of a walk to the end of the intersection, and before I even got back out of the parking spot, I got blinked out with the DUI, so they didn't even check my driving. Put me in jail.
So it was sort of quarter-type arrest?
It was called waiting for you to come out of the bar.
And you say that it was an unpleasant experience?
Oh, yeah.
Any details? Were you treated improperly? Were you physically abused?
No, not when they found out who my uncle was. They gave me a private cell then.
Were you handcuffed and so forth?
Yes, I was.
And how long were you held?
12 hours.
And your claim was, what, driving while intoxicated?
Right.
Were you convicted of that?
Yes.
And what impact
the
does
reason
that have?
I was is because I didn't hire an attorney and I just pleaded guilty so I could get out of jail. Because I didn't feel like staying any longer.
Would that have interfered with your life as a parent or as a worker?
No. No.
A grandmother, yeah.
A working grandmother.
A working grandma, yeah. My kids still love me.
My grandma.
Do you think that she's an old alcoholic you shouldn't associate with anymore?
No. She's my granddaughter.
She has to associate with me. She lives with me.
Apparently, some people here are still associating with you. Now, you say you haven't got much respect for local police? Or
no.
Are these just a few bad officers? Or is
no.
There,
no, there's other reasons.
No. We've driven one time to Jerome, and we were going 25 miles an hour speed limit, and there was a cop behind us. Because we weren't going fast enough for him, he slowed us down and searched our car and searched our license and told us that if we wanted to pull over and let people go by, and it's like cliff where there's nowhere to pull over and let people go by and then get back on, but there's nowhere to pull off. So
he was upset you were going too slow.
I was going the speed limit, but I was
going too slow for him.
Yeah.
How long ago was this?
About a year ago.
And what about, have you had any contacts in Prescott itself with police officers?
Yeah.
Positive, negative, neutral?
They're always negative.
Is this because you are a bad girl or no?
No.
No. They just wait for you.
What about your friends? How do they treat young people? Is there a curfew here in town?
Well, 10 o'clock.
I wouldn't know that.
For her age, not for her age.
No, teenagers, 10 o'clock.
Teenagers, yeah.
How do they treat young people? How do police officers treat the young?
They act all nice.
So you haven't been treated badly back then?
No. I even got babysitted by a police officer.
Yeah. Are you going to be a police person when you grow up?
No.
Oh, that's a really. What about you? Have you had any problems with the police?
No.
No. Any complaints?
No.
So you have a more neutral or positive view of them?
No, I don't have any problems with them.
Is there anything anyone would like to say to Free Radio Santa Cruz or the audience that's listening to the show about anything regarding...
What?
Sorry. I thought you were... It's a radio show. In Santa Cruz, California. Well, I want to thank you for giving us your views.
Thank you.
I hope this set of anti-homeless laws doesn't pass. Keep your eyes on the newspaper, or if you can, get the city council meetings and tell them what you think of it. Because, even though it might not mean a lot, it's been delayed for up to 6 months so far. They talked about these laws last year in November.
Well, everybody ends up being homeless once in their life, maybe twice, three times. I've been homeless myself before. I'm a grandmother now, but I've been homeless before. It happens to everybody.
It's happened to me.
You have a good job one day, and the next day you're laid off, and too bad.
What kind of work were you doing?
I've done all kinds of work. I've done everything. I've been a licensed hairdresser for 33 years. Worked for First American Title and Trust for 13 years, got laid off. I worked for Motorola, I've been a cashier, I've been a bartender, I've been a cocktail waitress, I've been a switchboard operator for the phone company in Kingman. Now I'm a motel maid, I've done all kinds of things. I've done so many things I can't even remember all of them. But it happens to everybody, I've lived in places my daughters wouldn't even recognize. They wouldn't believe I even lived in places that bad before. But that was before they were born.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I think when I grow up, if I had the money, I'd build a shelter for the homeless. And then an animal, me and my sister want to get a huge house and we want to have a pet business where we help all the pets and everything. Oh my God, we're going to be partners. That's a scary thought.
Sisters as partners could be deadly.
I know, I said that's a scary thought.
Oh yeah.
So what's your name?
Brittany.
And your name again?
Linda.
And your name?
Tanya.
And Frank. Listen, I'm Robert. I want to thank you all, and good luck. Hey.
That was kind of a family I ran into in Prescott, Arizona, about a month and a half ago when I was traveling through town. Seems like it's kind of the same all over, doesn't it? You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is twice weekly show, Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, Civil Rights for the Poor. Well, I was talking earlier, to get back to Santa Cruz, about problems in the needle exchange program. And actually, before I get into that, I better make sure I have the proper tapes lined up. And it looks like I do. Excellent. I have here a series of flyers, small flyers, 3x5, 4x6, which are given out to people who are needle users, heroin, speed, stuff like that, on the streets of Santa Cruz. Not something that I do, not something that most people I know do, but some of the people I know do heroin. Some of the people I know are drug users. Of course, the major and the most destructive drugs, the ones that kill the overwhelming majority of people, are legal drugs, tobacco and alcohol. Tobacco kills about 430,000 people a year in the United States. Alcohol kills about, 150,000, something like that, 120,000. Heroin, cocaine, methamphetamine, rat poison, you name it, anything else, less than 5,000 people per year. So it's enough to make one wonder why so many billions are being spent to criminalize this small number of drugs, and why tobacco is advertised so freely and alcohol is inserted into movies and so forth. It always makes me puke when I see tobacco inserted into movies as well. And of course, it has to do with money, and it has to do to some extent with irrational prejudice, and it has to do with racism, and it has to do with the whole history of why marijuana was criminalized in the mid-30s federally. But for those who are users of needles, there's a real health question, because primary means of transmission of AIDS is dirty needles. And in Santa Cruz, there are plenty of heroin users, plenty of people who use needles. And the question, of course, for our city is, do we support a program that encourages people to use clean needles, or do we just say we don't care, or do we instead say that's illegal to exchange needles for dirty for clean needles? Can't allow it. Like, for example, Mike Rotkin has said about free radio. Mike Rotkin can't support free radio because, quote, it's illegal, or so he reportedly told a free radio broadcaster. Now, here's an interview that Becky Johnson had earlier, a couple days ago. It was actually a video interview that she may be playing for Club Cruise or one of the video shows that she works with. Let's listen in and see what we can learn.
First, 1998.
Hi, we're here. What's your name?
My name is Heather Andy.
And Heather, you're the executive director of the Needle Exchange Program here in the city of Santa Cruz.
That's right.
Now, I understand that very recently it was a tragic occurrence happened where a 15-year-old boy died of an overdose locally, and that's caused some pressure to be exerted by the family members against the Needle Exchange Program. Could you tell us what the situation is?
Basically, after
this 15-year-old that the parents of the child were basically what I feel is like, you know, they were grieving their son's death, and so they were looking for people who they could hold accountable and hold responsible for what had happened. And so they were placing the blame on a lot of different organizations and different, you know, city officials and city bureaucracies. And needle exchange, because it's illegal, was kind of the weakest link in the chain. And unfortunately, I think the parents have felt like, you know, we'd be, you know, the easiest group to go after.
So how have they exerted this pressure against needle exchange?
Just by basically telling people that we do things at the drop-in center at needle exchange that aren't true. They claim that we gave their son a syringe without exchanging it, which is not true. We don't distribute syringes. We do a one-for-one exchange, which means you have to have a syringe in order to get a clean one. We absolutely do not give syringes out to people. We can't. If we do, we'll be closed down by the law enforcement in Santa Cruz. They also claim that the literature that we produce glamorizes drug use and encourages young people to use drugs. And that's their opinion, and they're entitled to their opinion, but I don't feel like the literature that we produce says that. I feel like the literature we produce provides a forum for drug users to talk about their experience in using drugs.
Now, who's trying to censor that literature at this point?
A lot of different city officials.
City officials,
public health, law enforcement.
What is the police reaction been?
They just, you know, they would love to see us gone, you know. They support needle exchange in that they look the other way. They don't arrest our volunteers. They don't arrest the participants coming and going from needle exchange. And compared to a lot of other cities in this, in the United States, we have a really good relationship with law enforcement. But because everyone's under fire surrounding the death of this child, you know, no one is being very supportive of anybody. Everyone's trying to cover their tracks and, you know, trying to respond to what these parents are asking for.
Have you experienced a heightened police surveillance since the death of this son?
Definitely. And, you know, that could be because they're getting a lot of complaints from community members, you know, from other parents saying, why aren't you doing anything about, you know, the drug dealing that goes on in Santa Cruz County? But the problem is that the drop-in center doesn't facilitate drug dealing. We don't allow drug dealing to go on here. We are a public health agency. We're here as an HIV resource center. We're here to slow the spread of HIV.
And that is the primary purpose for the needle exchange?
Absolutely. There's a lot of other things that happen because of needle exchange, like getting people onto treatment, like getting people hooked up with housing, and getting them food, getting them clothes, helping their kids get taken care of, you know, getting them referrals for HIV testing. A lot of other things happen when someone comes to exchange a syringe. It happens when they're ready, though, not when we say they're ready.
Now, what would you like members of the public to do to support needle exchange?
I guess to tell, like, you know, the Board of Supervisors and the City Council, and it's not all the Boards of Supervisors, not all the City Council members who haven't been supportive. A lot of them have been very supportive, but for those that aren't, or for those who just, who don't know anything about our program, I would just, you know, ask that people write them and let them know that needle exchange does not encourage drug use. There's been study after study to prove that needle exchange does not, you know, promote young people using drugs. All we're trying to do is keep people, you know, HIV free until they're ready to get off drugs.
And is there a phone number that people could contact for the needle exchange?
427-4557 is the number that you call. that's where you can get the needle exchange schedule. That's a number you can call if you're interested in volunteering. We desperately need volunteers, and we also desperately need funding. We're an illegal program. We have to rely on private foundations for money, and there's not enough money out there. So if people have money they want to donate, you'd be donating to a really good cause. We'd love your help. Or we'd love for you to just come down and visit the drop-in center and just see what it's like here. We'd be happy to show you around and show you, you know, show you what we do. We do a lot of different stuff.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Heather.
The drop-in center for needle exchange, or out of which needle exchange operates, is on Front Street, right across from the Metro Center, the bus terminal downtown. I have some of the flyers that apparently police have been stopping needle exchange from distributing, if I understand what I've been told properly. I haven't directly spoken to Heather. I did put in a call today to her, but I was gone most of the day, and I don't think she was able to get back to me. Flyers are very educational. What do you do if you hit an artery? Pull out the needle, raise the limb, apply firm pressure until help arrives, or for at least 5 to 10 minutes. If you are worried, get medical help quickly. Delay could cost you a limb. Remember, if in doubt, pull out. This is Getting Well number 4, text adapted by the Exeter Drugs Project. And of course, there's the Santa Cruz Needle Exchange number 427-4557. On the back is vein care tips. Use it.